Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, greetings, brothers and sisters of the faith, also family and friends.
I'd like to welcome you to another Theological Speaking, and I'm Jose Dorsey, your host. As always, with every other show, I like to just pause and thank you for making this show a success. You give us the ability to take the ministry, the gospel, if you will, these theological discussions out over the different airways so we can try to reach people in different lands, not just here in Detroit, Michigan, but other places as well. So thank you. Listen, we dare not go about any serious undertaking except for that we invoke the blessings of deity. So right now I'd like to ask that you pause with us as we just go before the throne of grace. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly thank you for every opportunity that you've given us to hear a word from you. You blessed us with the ability through different avenues. You've allowed us to use these electronic devices and technologies in such a way that we don't have to just stay grounded in one community, but the whole world is our community that we have the ability to share your word with. Continue to anoint us and appoint us, guide us and direct us, and allow us to stand on your biblical truth as our foundation. We trust you, we believe you, and we declare that it is so. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, it's been quite an honor, privilege, and pleasure to have been speaking from this platform, but also to talk about different subjects. One of the subjects that we've been ministering from lately, we've been talking about the call to ministry. We did a four-part series on that. We began talking about and discussing how different people have come up to me and proclaimed that they've been called into the gospel. And so as we begin to evaluate and analyze what does it mean to be called into the gospel, in retrospective, how we actually see different things being played out in our churches, I challenge you to use a biblical basis in order to analyze and see if you're actually where God is truly meant for you to be. What do we mean by that? We look at how the church operates. We look at different things that happen within our ministries. Are they biblically based? As we talked so many different times before about different things that our churches might encounter, we hear so many leaders that take on these illustrious titles. They talk to us and they share different philosophies with us. But I challenge you to know the difference between the philosophy and the theology. And so, so-called Christian ministries that's built on philosophies that we have very little theological context to begin with. And so one of the things I would like to do is continue on from that subject, but we want to go a little bit further. I started talking about the call of ministry. I just want to pause and take a few moments to talk to you about the popular path of piety. The popular path of piety. We're relating this subject from Matthew 7 to 12 verse in the Bible reads, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." So I was analyzing this passage of scripture, and I was thinking about various ministries that we see. Thinking about also, so many people find themselves turned off by church because of what we've seen different ministries. And the sad reality is that we've done so many antics. We have so much theatrics in church. We have so much pageantry, and we have so much traditionalism that we don't know how to weed through this in order to get to true theological foundation. We hear so much or so many things being taught in the church's dogma that sometimes we have to actually get back to the bare basics, the bare roots. Well, friends, as I was analyzing the scripture, I realized that one of the things that I would want someone to do is to bring me up, to bear me up in the truth, to establish me in the truth. One of the things we know about the Holy Spirit is that he leads us into all truth. He leads us into all understanding. So if we have the Holy Spirit as our helper, as the paraclete, the one who helps us. And he leads us and he directs us and guides us and heals us. And quite naturally, I want someone who has the Holy Spirit in them to be able to come and help guide me along in church leadership. Well, we read a little bit further. Just to do unto them as we have to do unto them, do unto us, as we say the golden rule is. But quite naturally, as I am in leadership in a church, I want to allow people to learn the true word of God. And likewise, I would want someone to teach me the unadulterated word of God as well. I want to really cause your attention to gaze upon verse 13 and 14, though, because it says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. I look around and I ask the question, why are there so many different churches? Why are there so many churches? I live right here in Detroit, Michigan. I drive around, it seems like there's a church on every other corner. But I realize just because the door is open and it got church on the building doesn't necessarily mean it's preaching the gospel. We'll catch that in a minute. It doesn't mean that our practices are biblical. It doesn't mean, unfortunately, that we are standing on the truth or the word of God. There are some people, and I have to say that, you know, I've been around it. I've seen it. I want to raise my hand and say, ouch, instead of amen, but I've actually been one of these people that actually did it. So we can hear the word of God for ourselves. We can see the truth. It can slap us in the face. It can be sitting right there on our lap, but some kind of way we refuse to accept it because it's not comfortable to us. It's not popular. It's not something that memorializes us, or it's not something that glamorizes self. One of the reasons why we walk around as bishops and esteemed prophets and apostles is because we want to take the picture from the gospel and place it on us. If I come to you as an apostle, if I come to you as a prophet or someone esteemed very high, then you'll celebrate me and you'll lift me up and you'll treat me a certain way. And ultimately, I've gathered the esteem of the people opposed to giving the reverence to God. So one of the things I find is that it's so common among our different churches. It's so common for us to walk around in the pageantry or the aesthetics of church. It's so common for us to come and only have ministries that preach and teach within the confines of the congregation, opposed to going out in the highways and the byways. To analyze the thing, when we look at the life of Christ, he spent very little time in the temples and in the synagogues. We found him there sometimes teaching and preaching and correcting and guiding, but most of his ministry was spent in the highways and the byways. Friends, we are secreted over in the 17609 Livernois, Detroit, Michigan, at Skillsville Gym. And the truth from my heart to yours is that it was very hard for me to embrace us moving there because it doesn't look like the regular traditional church. It doesn't look like the format of having the pews and the pulpit up front. It doesn't look like the steeple on top of the church. It doesn't look according to perceived church to be. We don't have an organ. We don't have a big old choir. We don't have none of those things. But one thing that we do have is the presence of the Lord. We don't have the pageantry. We don't have the robes. Amen. We don't have the clergy collar. We don't have all of those things. But one of the things that we do have is the word of God. And we celebrate that because that's the true essence. How can you have Christianity without Christ? So likewise, how can we celebrate the physical things, the tangible things, or the things of status? Many people slapping hands and celebrating the fact that pastor has on a $1,000 suit, or the fact that the church is able to pay for him to drive in a new Rolls Royce. Meanwhile, we have people in our congregation suffering because they're perishing from the lack of knowledge. They're not being taught the unadulterated word of God. It's easy for us to be lifting ourselves up as men. Celebrate monarchs within the church house. You're going to catch this in a minute, even though that's not God's intention. It's easy for us to do that. It's easy for us to petition you to give your last dollar, and we gloat on building an edifice that we can be proud of. Meanwhile, people are still committing the same sins, and they're not flourishing in their own personal life. Meanwhile, We're not hanging on the truth or holding on to his everlasting hand. Meanwhile, we're just continuously allowing society to step on us. So many people lost hope when Trump became the president. I'm just going to speak plain. I'm not trying to advocate for one candidate or the other, or say that Democrat is better than Republican or vice versa. But I can speak from a fact basis that so many people that I saw within my natural environment, within my immediate vicinity, lose hope because Trump became the president. But if the churches, and I have to petition the churches, if we weren't stuck on pageantry, but just even teaching, if more churches was just teaching the unadulterated, bold word of God, we'd have enough people that would say, you know what, they have the conviction that in him I live, it's in him I move, and it's in him that I have my very being. I don't care who's a president, I still recognize that Christ is still king. So we have so many churches that may stand in the wide path or go along the way of allowing themselves to become a part of the popular thing, a part of the pageantry, and a part of the materialism. But the reality is, I believe that God calls us to something higher. The popular road or the popular path of piety is really not what we analyze from the life of Christ. When you look at Christ, when he came into the world very humbly. He was born in a manger, out there with animals. He came into the world humbly. If you think about the way that he was executed, his crucifixion when he died, it was one of the most gruesome, heinous, most torturous way that Romans can think to execute people. It was an execution that was designed for the lowliest of citizens, for foreigners, for people that actually committed the highest of crimes. They reserved this crucifixion for. So if you think about the life of Christ, you don't see where they brought Jesus' $65 million plane. We don't see where Jesus was walking around with gold chains, and we don't see Jesus walking around with the best. We got to make it culturally relative with the best donkey of the day. Amen. We don't see him rolling around with the best robes, but instead we actually see a Savior that had a ministry that didn't charge people for working miracles. How much did he charge the man by the pool of Bethesda? How much did he charge the woman at the well? How much did he charge when he changed the water into wine at the wedding of Cana? How much did Jesus charge when he met the man of Gadara and he cast out the demons inside of him? How much did he charge? And then we look around and you can't even get a free dinner at a church because you have to pay for the chicken dinner. Amen. Oh, you can't get certain things because rather than being about the mission or the ministry here, rather than being about the mission or the ministry, we're all about the estate. Convicting. Yeah, it's very convicting because I've been there. I've been a part of the process. But I believe that when we know better, we're supposed to do better. And so here it is. Let's examine verse 14. It says, "For the gate is narrow." Understand, we see the way that many people go. Many people go among the way that's very popular. It's easy to do what's popular. It's easy to do what other people do. It's easy when money comes in, money flows, and everything is going good. It's easy when people are giving. It's easy when your church ain't a storefront because you've been established for a while and everything is going good. But is that the popular way? Is it the way because it's easy? So here we go. Verse 14 says, "For the gate is narrow." Everybody's not going to be able to do everything because everything is not meant for everybody. So here it is. Your calling might be very specific. It might be very distinct from everyone else, which might lead you into a place where you go door to door because that's the burden that God puts on your heart. Right? You might find yourself in a situation that your ministry causes you to go outside of the confines of just the church house. What if God is burdening your heart to go into the prison? What if God is burdening your heart to go into different atmospheres where it's not popular? Within our ministry, make it right. Within our ministry, we find ourselves going into prisons or going into different places We have a vision for doing street preaching. We're going to take a team of evangelists, and we're going to go into the streets and street preach. God forgive me if you hear ambient noise in the background. I'm actually traveling back from Nashville, Tennessee, as we're actually making it, just now making it back to Detroit. And so please forgive my ambient noises in the background. But as we find ourselves in whatever mode or capacity of ministry, the most important thing it is for us to do is follow according to how God has burdened it right here in our hearts. I'm just going to pause for station identification. So here it is, as we advocate, as we understand more about how we are supposed to operate in our ministries, we recognize that it might not always be popular, it might not always be something that everybody else is doing, it might not be even comfortable for you. Sometimes it's not always conducive for you to begin a ministry in a place that has a lot of pageantry. It might not be well established, but one ministry might not be less viable than the other. So I want to encourage those who are just starting out. I want you to know that the path to piety, true piety, is not always popular. It's not always the exact way that's meant for us just because everybody is doing it. Understand that the gate is narrow. And because it's narrow, everybody don't have the spiritual strength or the spiritual intelligence, the spiritual ability even. Some people don't have the faith to go into places that you're able to go into. And so because of that, we recognize that we have a responsibility to, when we are called to ministry, we operate according to how God has purposed it in our hearts to operate, opposed to what everybody else is doing. Now, I know they might call them bishops in other churches. I know they might call them evangelists or apostles or prophets. But what did God specifically call you to be? I love my brother in Christ. He looked at me. He said, you know what? I believe that you have an apostolic anointing. I want you to be elevated to the position of apostle. But in my understanding of the word of God, I cannot accept it because I understand that an apostolic anointing, or being an office, being in the office of the apostle, or being an apostle, actually means that God himself, the post-resurrection of resurrected Christ, spoke to me directly and appointed me to that position. So no man has the authority, and if I understand that and I believe that, then I have to go the narrow way in my understanding of his word. I cannot allow myself to go in the more popular way where everybody else would look at the position or look at the title of apostle, and they'll respond a certain way. But here it is. See, while we look for the response from man, I'm truly looking for the response from God. Now I'm about to talk to you. I'm looking for God to look at me in a certain way. It's not that I want people to shake me on my hand or pat me on the back and say that I preach so well, or people to look at me and say I'm doing so good as a pastor, or I'm doing really good as a preacher. I want people to see me obeying God, and I want God to look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want him to see that I've been faithful over a few things so that when it's time, he will elevate me and make me ruler of a much. See, my name is insignificant in a roll of names. Come on, somebody. I want you to see that my name is just a simple name. I'm just Jose. You know, we mentioned Jesus is just Jesus. We don't call him Prophet Jesus, King Jesus, Lord of Lords Jesus. We don't tend to call him Apostle Jesus or none of that. We don't call him Bishop Jesus. We just say Jesus. But see, me, I'm an apostle. You got to call me apostle. You got to call me bishop or reverend doctor. No, just Jose. We recognize that on this path that we must follow,
the path is not always set to be popular. It's not always going to be comfortable. The road of ministry does not always look like everyone else. It's not a peer pressure thing. Just because everybody else is doing it don't mean that it's conducive for us to do so. We have to operate with spiritual precision and allow ourselves to be governed by the word of God and not the whim of man. And when we get to that place, we'll find that the path to piety is very unpopular. Sometimes it's very uncomfortable. It's inconvenient at times. If you don't believe it's inconvenient, let me give a testimony right here. I've been accused of things that I did not do. I've been divorced from someone that I do love. I've been persecuted in ways from people that I love that I would never have believed. And yet and still, here I am, to the best of my ability, on the word of God. Why? Because the Bible teaches me that I have a responsibility to forgive them. I have a responsibility to love them. It doesn't matter what capacity they serve in your life, whether they're a relative, whether they're a neighbor, a stranger, a friend. God covers all bases because we have a responsibility to love them. Know how I know that? Because Jesus said, even love your enemies. So here it is. It's uncomfortable to love somebody when you see them just outright doing you wrong. It's uncomfortable, it's unpopular to forgive somebody when you know that they are outright just stepping on you, that they mean very well for your demise. It's uncomfortable. It hurts even. It's very difficult. It's uncomfortable to continue to just do things that you know are not going to grow your church. You're not going to get the numbers that you've been looking for. It's uncomfortable to continue to know that as so long as you're teaching the unadulterated word, that your ministry might be stuck with just 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 people. That maybe perhaps you might not get to be that big old mega ministry that you was looking to have. That perhaps because of the way you teach and preach, because of your realness, because of your ability to stand on his word, because of how raw you are with your belief and your faith and how you stand and how you deliver, that perhaps their ears are not going to be tickled. So that means that your road might be harder than the mega church pastor, senior pastor. Knowing that might cause you to feel discouraged in your walk. But the popular path of piety is not necessarily the road that we all must go. Because we're told God has called us more distinctly to come by the road. A path, if you will, that is more narrow. It takes someone to have an unmitigated goal to come forward and stand, regardless of what it looked like, regardless of what it feels like. Somebody to come and actually present themselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, so that they can do that very will of God and count it as their reasonable sacrifice. Lord, I don't care if you give me 10 people, 20. Lord, I don't care what you give me, but whatever you give me, I'm going to be faithful over it. And then even if it takes me to close my eyes, that I die, and I've only pastored 10 people, as long as I was diligent with those people, it doesn't matter, because that's one of the things that's so distinct about our ministry, is that we have to follow the narrow way, because that's God's way. Listen, I hope something was said to us today. We look forward to seeing you next time. We hope that we understand something a little bit more about the path to piety. Sometimes it's popular, but is that the way that God has called us to? Until we talk to you next time, thank you for another Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. God bless you all, and I love you in Christ.